The last few Sunday nights, we've been looking a little bit about the last week we looked about being a servant leader. We talked about that's what we desire, and what I think what the Bible desires out of all of us, but especially in the realm of what a deacon is. You can guess. I don't need that. And here in Acts chapter number 6, we're going to look a little bit more in this, but tonight's going to be a little bit more about the story of Stephen. And the title of tonight's message is The Difference Stephen Made. The Difference Stephen Made. Here in Acts chapter number 6, we are introduced to a gentleman who was known as one of the first deacons. And of all the different seven men that were chosen, there's only two that we know a little bit more about, and that's Stephen and Philip. We know both of these men are people who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. These are men who were great witnesses for the Lord and used by God. And we're going to see a little bit about Stephen's life and how Stephen died tonight. But I think more important than anything, we're going to try to focus in on what God was looking for when it came to a deacon and what the church got out of Stephen, but what the difference was. You know, we spent a few weeks looking at this, and it's the first time that we've instituted deacons since I've been a pastor, and I wanted to make sure people understood my heart, and not only those that were potential deacons, but just the church family understood my heart about what I believe the role and the office of a deacon stands for. And I think it boils down to what we looked at last week about being a servant leader, and that we lead, but we do that by serving others. And I believe a deacon's role is to serve the church, and also to assist the pastor, to pastor the church a right way. There's a lot of different things that needs to be done, and the pastor needs help. And that's what the role of a deacon, but not just deacons, but also all the church members work together to provide what is necessary and needed to make the church function together as a body and to be able to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Having ministries like our youth choir and the children's choir are things that we enjoy, even our adult choir. Those are all things that we enjoy, we like having, but they take workers and they take time and they take sacrifice. They take opportunities to minister, but they need the right people be fulfilled, fulfilling the roles and being able to take care of things. And a pastor really does need help. And tonight, when we look at this patch of scripture in Acts chapter number 6, the first thing I want you to look at is what it says, what God told the people to be looking for. Acts chapter number 6, and look in verse number 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, you know, there was an increase amongst the number of the disciples. That's a good thing. You know, we like to see the disciples, the number of disciples multiplied. But when there's an increase, you know what that means? There's problems sometimes, or there's at least more work that is needed, more helpers to be able to meet the needs of all those different disciples. It says, there arose a murmuring of the Grecian against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And I told you this before, that I believe that, you know, you serve, and Jesus Christ was the perfect example here of how we looked at that last week, how he led by showing us he served. He took on the form of a servant. He washed the disciples' feet. Philippians chapter number 2 talks about how he took on the form of a servant. But what these 12 are saying, hey, look, you know, we don't mind doing these things, but the main purpose and the main focus of their ministry was one that was supposed to be of the Word of God and in praying. And like I said, most of you would know that myself, I believe in working and getting involved and doing is serving as much as I can. But there, if I take and try to do everything, then I will not be able to be spiritually ready to present sermons. It will not be prayed up and different things like that. And that's where this idea of those coming alongside the pastor and helping them comes in. Verse number 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you. And this is where the verse where we get this idea, what did God tell them to look for in Acts chapter number 3? He says, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And like I said there, as a pastor, if the pastor just doesn't want to do anything, that's one thing. But if a pastor wants to have enough study time and prayer time to be effective, that's something completely different. Verse number 5, it says, in the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. We're not going to go any farther with that list of names because we're going to focus in on Stephen. But we'll drop down to verse number 6. Who they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them, and the word of God increased. Now we see that when they chose these seven, and these seven got involved, it says that the word of God increased. It means that what I'm seeing is that the apostles had the opportunity to study as they wanted to, but also we'll see here that the deacons themselves in some of the areas, at least that we know from Stephen and Philip, were people who actually increased in preaching and teaching the word of God. And so what was the result? And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Now we see that there was an increase going on. There was a problem that was causing a problem in the church. Then these seven men were chosen. And now we see that the disciples multiplied greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient in the faith. Those that were of the Jewish traditions, maybe Pharisees, Sadducees, but at least of the priests, those that had a Judaism that was looking to the Old Testament, looking to the law, now they were believing in Jesus Christ. And now we come to the spot in verse number 8, we are introduced to this man Stephen, and we learn a little bit about his life. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which called the synagogue of the Libertians and the Syrians and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. So, you know, this man who is a deacon here, he's standing up, he's full of faith, he's doing wonders, he's a powerful in his preaching. And then there are people that come and dispute against him. And it's, look what verse number 10 says. I think this is wonderful. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Isn't that great? The Holy Spirit of God helped them so much that probably these men or these different groups and these different sects or people who were intelligent, probably well learned in the verses of Judaism and the Mosaic Law, but they could not resist the wisdom and spirit. And that's interesting. You notice the wisdom and the spirit, and we could refer to the Spirit of God there, but the spirit by the which he done these things. Verse number 11, then they subornant men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses. Now, once again, they cannot withstand him. They cannot disprove what he's saying. They don't like what he's saying. So what do? They hire false witnesses, just as they did with Jesus Christ, which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place, this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And it's the same accusations they made towards Jesus. They misinterpreted, they misapplied, and they made false accusations, things that was not worthy of death, obviously. Verse number 15, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Now, I know sometimes when people mistreat us or abuse us or make accusations against us, most of us could not say that they could see the face of an angel. Most of us would get angry. Most of us would get mad in how we react. But we see Stephen full in confidence and full of faith here just sitting there. And they're looking at him as if they were seeing an angel. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. God, we need your help. Lord, I need your help tonight. As we look at this passage of Scripture, help us to understand and see the importance that is found in it. Help us to see this man Stephen, and help us not just say, oh, that's for preachers and that's for deacons, but instead, this is what God is looking for us out of all individuals. Lord, we know that you're looking for all of us to serve. You're looking for all of us to have a part. And Lord, whether we have the title of a deacon or a pastor or as a Sunday school teacher or a choir member, whatever it is that we do, or even just a church member, we're all valuable in your sight. We all have an important place. And Lord, these are the things you're looking for in people that you can use. Lord, he said, look out among them. And he gave a list of things. And Lord, these are things that needed help. And Lord, these are things that you said those that are helping need to consist of. Lord, speak to people's hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's look here in Acts chapter 6, verse number 3. Let's look here. What did God tell them to look for? And he says, now once again, the apostles are speaking to the brethren. I believe this is under the Lord has told them what to be looking for. He says, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So there's five different things I want you to look at. First of all, they had a godly influence. The apostle instructed the church, look ye among you. The men chosen had already exerted a godly influence that was noticed in the church. Before they were ever given a position of church leadership, they said, look, you need to look out among yourselves. You need to find someone. Doesn't mean go looking somewhere else. Look out among yourselves. And you see the next thing, when he uses the word among you, it means that they had godly relationships. The words among you note their ability to relate and get along with one another. In addition to the right vertical relationship that they have with God, they must have a relationship where they have the right horizontal relationship with their church family. And that's what he's saying, look ye out among you. They had a godly reputation, where it says, you seven men of honest report. They were men of integrity. They were men of honor. They were men who the church could trust. And this is important. Is that something that could be said of you? When someone is asked for service, can they look out among you and say, hey, this is a person who has a godly influence in our church and has relationships that get along with the other church members, and they're of an honest report. They're someone who is of high integrity and high honor among those in the church. But you see the next phrase, and it says, excuse me, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now, those both things are important. Being full of the Holy Spirit of God means that they're leading and directing. They were full of the Holy Ghost, and they were led and directed and guided by the Holy Spirit of God. But that next phrase, wisdom. They were not spiritual wannabes. They were not someone who did not walk with God. They yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. They were not leaning to their own understanding. They were not justifying things in their mind. Instead, they were being led by the Lord, and they had godly wisdom. They didn't lean to what their thinking and what their heart was. Instead, they led according to what God had showed them and what God's word had said. And that next phrase, he says, whom you may appoint over this business, they had a servant's heart. The initial job given to these men were to serve tables, to serve the church widows. This was not a glamorous job description. I've been at a couple of widow ladies' luncheons before, and I have helped serve before some of their tables. And believe me, those widow ladies are hard to get along with. They want this and they want that. I'm joking. We have a very sweet group of ladies, but it is not a position that is glamorous at all. It's one that you will enjoy doing when you take on the heart of a servant and be willing to serve those. And these men were chosen because they were willing to serve. And they were chosen because they had the opportunity and they were willing to give of themselves. They were men of faith. Because the pastor is the overseer of the church, the men who serve with him must have faith, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and also have faith to, as the Lord directs the pastor, that they follow along with that leadership. And some Christians have this mindset that, hey, I want to be a deacon so I can stand up and tell the pastor a thing or two. And once again, a pastor is accountable to others. But, you know, if that's the mindset, is that they want to try to run things, and they want to try to tell the pastor what to do, that's not what you see in the Bible. Now, that's the place in some churches today, and that's the place where you have some churches. But I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. I see where it says that this is referring to a servant. And, you know, there's pastor leadership, and there's things that the Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 13. And the heart of it here is that a deacon is someone who serves. And they assist the pastor, and the pastor needs help. They need help with financial decisions. They need help with directions and things like that. And when they have ideas and they have suggestions and they listen. And I have an open door policy where I try to take people's suggestions. But here, if you want to be honest with the Word of God saying here, that these men were put aside there to help the pastor so he can focus on praying and in the study of the Word of God. So what did God tell them to look for? He told them a group of people that had godly influence, people that had good relationships or godly relationships with one another. They had a godly reputation. They were full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit of God. And they had a servant's heart. So what did they find? This is what God says. This is what you need to look for. And you see that they found these men in verse number 5. There are 7 different guys there. And the first one is Stephen, a man full of faith. And believe me, they found what they were looking for here in Stephen. What did they find? They found Stephen. In verses 8 through 15, you get a description of what they found in Stephen. First of all, he was full of faith. And this is a Christian's journey. It does not begin like this. You begin with faith. Yes, you trust in the Lord, but you should grow. Yet God intends our infant-like faith to expand and grow, and we become Christians, become Christian, have Christian maturity. Colossians 2:6 says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Stephen's life was characterized by his faith. And I know some people say, well, it's important that we have men in the church that are really good with financial things, or men in the church that are really good at physical things, or men in the church that are good at technological things. And all those things are important. But the most important thing that we have in this church is people that are full of faith. More than anything else. And God will take care of all the other details. But if a man and women, men and women, and even children and teenagers that are full of faith, that is the type of church that we are looking for. The Bible says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." When the deacons are full of faith, the church is encouraged, and they're excited in the serving, and their leadership, and they're serving by leadership, servant leadership, and others are willing to follow because they're full of faith. And so this should be our number one goal. Now, I think it's great that certain people have certain talents. I think it's great that some people can fix computers and do things that I can never consider doing, or fixing engines, or having a mindset to do other things. But our goal should be, number one, is to be full of faith. Because how are we going to use our talents and our abilities if we're not full of faith, first of all? Next thing, we see he was full of power. Look what it says in verse number 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power. Now, he did great wonders. I don't think we're going to look for men today that say that they can perform miracles. That's just not going to happen. These are sign gifts. If one of these guys that are potential deacons next week, we're not going to have come down next week and say, okay, here's some water, turn it to wine. We're not going to have them do that. It's just not needed today. Back then, in that time period, then the Lord allowed these men to have sign gifts. But they were filled with power. You know, there's a difference between people that can do miracles, but then, you know, you can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. There's no doubt that God can control us to do things that we never thought was possible. The Bible says, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." Deacons who are fully yielded to the Lord, full of faith, and following, lording the Lord's Holy Spirit, they can do great things for God. Once again, this is not just for deacons. This is an example. God's looking for people he can use. He needs people who are of honest report. He needs people who are full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. He needs people who are willing to serve. He needs people who are full of faith. And this is what he found in Stephen. They found a man that was full of faith, full of power, and he was filled with the Word. You say, what do you mean by filled with the Word? Well, in the story here, you see in verse number 10, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake." You go to chapter number 7, and these accusations are made to Stephen. Stephen doesn't shrink away, but by gracefully, he begins to preach the Word of God. He goes all the way back from the beginning of the nation of Israel and begins to teach him, helps him understand who Jesus Christ was, and that Jesus Christ had to be the Savior of the world, and that he teaches them. How did he know all these things? Did the Holy Spirit of God just pop those things in their mind? Now, the Holy Spirit can do that thing, but I believe he was a man that was filled with the Word. He was a diligent student of God's Word, as evident in his sermon in Acts chapter number 7. Under tremendous pressure, he was able to recall Scripture and present to his accusers the concise clarity. He preached that Jesus Christ had fulfilled the pictures of the Old Testament ceremonies, and he understood the importance of the new covenant of the church age. Stephen's life was, Scripture provides a real-time view of his life. He demonstrated these characteristics. This impacted his ministry because he was a man that was full of faith, full of power, but he was full of the Word. This is what he got. And Christians, this is what we should be seeking for. You say, oh, no, that's just for a deacon, that's just for a pastor. No, God is looking for everyone he can use. He's calling people to the service he wants people to use. And he's saying, here, look, there was a problem in the church. And the apostles came and says, hey, look, we can't do everything. Look out among yourselves. Find 7 guys that have these type of qualifications. Let them get involved. Let them do things. And that's what happens here. But God's making the same call to us. We need nursery workers. We need Sunday school teachers. We need people who are serving the Lord. And we need people who are full of faith and full of the power of God. Yes, you're not going to perform a miracle, but you know what? God can use you to do supernatural things in other people's lives if you're filled with His power. It's amazing what God could do with you. And also filled with His Word. But you see, the next thing is He faced spiritual opposition. Anytime that you're full of faith and full of the power of God and full of the Word of God, you're going to face opposition. There are those that it says in verse number 9, they came and they began to dispute with him. They disputed with Stephen. They were stubborn men. They called him blasphemous. He was misunderstood. And every time you stand up to speak the truth of God and His power, you'll face spiritual opposition. The devil's not going to let you just turn around and do whatever you want. Paul instructed the Christian, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why is that? Because they're going to face spiritual opposition. If you go and take a position inside of a church and you want to do something for God, and you want to live for God, you're going to face opposition. You're going to face someone who stands up because the devil is not going to let you get away with just sitting there. He's going to do whatever he can. And these hired informants, these blasphemers, what they did is they began to make false accusations against him. The charges against him were so fierce that the passions of the Jewish people were raised to the point that Stephen ends up losing his life. But what does Stephen do? A man full of faith and full of power and full of the Word. He is steadfast. He is unmovable. He's always abounding in the work of the Lord as he witnessed to Christ and his accusers. He had grace under pressure. And I tell you, and when you have a prop, when you go to live for God, you're going to meet people who are going to try to cause you to lose your Christian testimony. You're going to go to see people who are going to try to pick and try to prod you to try to get you to stop living for God, to say things that are anti what God would have you to say. They're going to try to get people who get you to lose their testimony. And he had grace under pressure. Look what it says in verse number 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. It just reminds me of when Jesus was sitting there and Pilate was there and he was surprised as they were making all these accusations. And he looks at him and says, "You're sitting here silent." He had grace underneath all this pressure. And Stephen's the same way. They're making up all these things. He knows it might cost him his life. He knows that this is going to be something that's not going to end well. But what does he do? He treats them with grace. You know what? The Bible says that Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. Grace does not demand a lack of truth. Neither does truth demand a lack of grace. And a person who is spending time with Christ learns to balance the two of those, and it's a great asset to the gospel ministry. There are some people who are so strong over here on grace that they think they can live and forget all about the truth. But then there's others who are so strong in the truth, they build their lives on some type of principles, and sometimes they become to the point where they're not really biblical principles, but they're principles they came up with on themselves, and they forget all about grace. They treat other people like trash because they don't think the same way they do. Jesus Christ was a perfect example of grace and truth. He never compromised the truth, but he treated those with grace. He never compromised the truth, but he treated people with mercy. It was a perfect example. And that's what's happening in Stephen's life here. These people were people who were blasphemous. They were making false accusations. But under pressure, he had grace. And he also displayed the presence of Christ. No one else could have done what Stephen had done. And once again, truth needed to be said. You go to chapter number 7, you look at verse 51. After he preaches the whole sermon, he explains to all of them who Jesus Christ was, and that Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament pictures. And in verse number 51, he tells them what they need to hear. He says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." And he is trying to bring them the understanding that they need Jesus Christ. "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And have they slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it when they heard these things?" So he brings his message to a conclusion. He says to them, look, this is what you need to understand. You have a problem in your life. But when they heard the conviction, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. You say, "Pastor, he displayed the presence of Christ." Well, look where he displays the presence of Christ. Verse number 56, And he's speaking. He is right now being stoned to death. I guess we can read in verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they were gnashed on him with their teeth. Being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears. They ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down. And this is where I'm saying that I believe he has the presence and the power of God in his life when he can say this, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." You know, he was able to say, even while he was being stoned to death, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." What a picture of a Christian servant is supposed to be. A person who is full of wisdom, full of faith, has good relationships with those in the church, and he is graceful under pressure. He says what's needed to be said, but he doesn't hold a grudge. He doesn't look for his own vendetta. He doesn't look for his easy way out, but instead, he continues to show Christ in his life. Vance Havner once said, "We need men of the cross with the message of the cross, bearing the marks of the cross." And what we see is a glimpse of Stephen, a portrait of a godly Christian worker. Yes, he might have had the title of a deacon, but he was a man that was full of faith, power, and scripture, enabling him to declare the truth with grace, even under pressure, and to display the presence of Christ, even when facing death. And as we consider what type of servant is God looking for, I think you look at Stephen's life and say, that's a man we can pattern our lives after. Now, you say, "Well, what difference does it make? Come on, pastor. You know, well, I know they have the office of a deacon, they have the office of a pastor, but really, what's the big deal in the big scheme of things? What difference did it make?" And look here in Acts chapter number 6. I alluded to it already in verses 6 and 7. You see, when the deacons came on board and they began to help the apostles, what was said about them? It says, verse number 6 in chapter 6, "whom they had set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Amen. Now, you see, there was results there. You see, there the word of God increased, and this is what we need. People need to hear the word of God. They need to have the word of God pushed out. The people, that's what needs to be said. And when the word of God is put in a priority, the disciples, they will multiply. Not only will the disciples multiply, you see that even the hard cases will become obedient to the faith. Now, you say, not all of them. No, that's because we all have a free will. We all have a opportunity either to accept or reject Christ. But it says even some of the priests. But it doesn't just stop there. The story we just read in Acts chapter number 7 in verses 51 through 60, if verse number 58 says, "And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." What difference does it make? And I think that in a Christian worker's life, you know what? You never know what the difference is going to make. Stephen is dead now. He's off the scene. But I think the testimony where Stephen is saying, "Lay not this sin to their account," and that when Stephen says he sees the Lord and sees Jesus sitting up there, sitting on the right-hand throne, standing up, getting ready to receive him, I think Saul hears all that. I think a couple chapters later when God shows that light and reveals himself to Saul, Saul is ready to receive Christ. Why? Because of what Stephen did. I think because of Stephen's testimony, and because Stephen, when all these false accusations was being made to him, saw Saul and looked at him, and he said, "Look, he has like the face of an angel." If people were saying this about me, I would be standing up. I would be defending myself. I would be saying, "No, you're a liar. This, no." He was graceful under pressure, and because he had the right attitude under pressure, and because he was able to forgive those, and because he saw Christ sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, or standing at the right hand of the throne of God, this caused Saul, which someday is going to become Paul, to realize the truth that he was missing. See, as a Christian worker, you never know what's going to happen. You never know how God's going to work. You never know, even it might even happen after you pass away, something that is left behind that God is able to work in someone's heart and life. Now, we don't see Saul repenting of his sins right here, but you just go over a little bit, a couple of chapters from now, and you know what happens? You see the word of God is pushed out in chapter number 8, that Saul gets ramped up. He goes in and terrorizes people's houses, and how the word of God is pushed out throughout all the world. There's a reason and a purpose behind it. Some people say, oh, this is a shame what happened to Stephen. It is a shame whenever we had to be persecuted for the cause of Christ. But because of Stephen being full of faith and being full of the Word of God and being full of the Holy Spirit of God, he was able to be used in such a way that he reached probably one of the greatest persecutors of all the church. And also the Word of God was able to be pushed out. Yes, it was sad to see him die, but think about what happened and the difference that he made. The Word of God went out throughout all the world. Look what it says in chapter 8, verse number 1. And Saul, once again, he was someday will come Paul, consenting unto his death. And at the time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. You go, and you see how the word of God, and you see in verse number 4, it says, therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. They were all in Jerusalem at that point in time. But because of this persecution, and because what Saul had done to Stephen, and because what Saul was doing in the house, this has now been pushed out to all the rest of the world. And we have the gospel today because of those who have gone and pushed out. Now, so what do you say? What does it all make? Why do I need to be a servant? Why do I need to have the right relationship? Why do I need to be full of the Spirit and full of faith and full of the Word of God? Why? Why? It's because of the difference you can make. You know, there you say, well, Stephen was an extraordinary man. He had all these great things and these, you know what? He was just a man. He could have said, hey, look, I'm not an apostle. Because I'm not an apostle, I'm not going to serve God. He could have said, I'm too good to serve a table. No, he took the opportunities that God gave him, and he had a servant's heart. He had a right relationship with others. He was of an honest report. He was a man of integrity, and God was able to use him. This is the type of servant that God's looking for. And some people can say, hey, well, I can never be a deacon, or I can never do this, or I can never do that, then I'm not going to do anything. You miss what God is looking for. Remember, what's God looking for? It said in verse number 3, he said, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who are willing to serve. That's what God's looking for. What did they get in Stephen? They got a man that was full of faith, got a man that was full of the Word, got a man that had the presence of Christ even in death while he was being stoned and had grace under pressure. What did it make? What difference did it make? It changed Saul's life. And I think it's took the word of God and helped be pushed out throughout all the world. What difference can your life make? We will never find out if we're not men and women of faith, men and women of honest report, men and women that are full of faith and full of the Spirit and full of the Word. Men who and women that have grace under pressure. Men and women that have the presence of Christ in their life. Men and women that are able to stand up and speak boldly when it needs to be spoken boldly about, and to try to reach people of Jesus Christ. And even when persecution comes, we still have grace under that pressure and still realize the purpose of our lives. Stephen, what a great character in the Bible. This is what God's looking for. There's a call for servant leadership, not just for a pastor, not just for a deacon, not just for a Sunday school teacher. For all Christians to serve him and be able to be used by him. We can all make a difference. Stephen made a difference. Not just because he had a title of a deacon. No, he was already a good man before he ever got that title. He was already being used of God. God just chose to have him be in that position so he could be used even in a greater way. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.